Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. They hastened toward the Lord on chariots, were brahmanas bearing flowers. Before them were elephants, emblems of good fortune. Conch shells and bugles were sounded, and Vedic hymns were chanted. Thus they offered their respects, which were saturated with affection. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Vedic way of receiving a great personality creates an atmosphere of respect which is saturated with affection and veneration for the person received. The auspicious atmosphere of such a reception depends on the paraphernalia described above, including conch shells, flowers, incense, decorated elephants, and the qualified brahmanas reciting verses from the Vedic literatures. Such a program of reciprocation is full of sincerity on the path of both the receiver and the received. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Malitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadhamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padhan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Sja He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Besha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sate Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachadesha Tharine. So the verse again, they hastened towards the Lord on chariots with brahmanas bearing flowers. Before them were elephants, emblems of good fortune. Conch shells and bugles were sounded and the Vedic hymns were chanted. Thus they offered their respects which were saturated with affection. So today is very auspicious day. It is Shri Krishna Rasa Yatra. The day the Rasa dance was performed by the Lord with the gopis. Actually, the first Rasa dance was performed on Sharad Purnima. Sharad Purnima takes place one day before the start of Kartik month. And during Sharad Ritu, which is the autumn season, that's the second full moon night, happens today. And on this day, Sri Krishna Rasa Yatra is performed by the Lord and the devotees. In Vrindavan, the Rasa dance is celebrated more on Sharad Purnima, which is the first Purnima. But in Bengal, it is celebrated more. So today is also the Tulsi Shaligram Vivaha, the marriage between Vrindadevi and Sri Shaligram. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Jai Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shishi Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. So that's a wonderful festival. I saw some photographs posted by Dina Bandhu Prabhu yesterday in Vrindakund. The marriage ceremony took place. What an auspicious, big festival it was. And today is also the appearance day of Sri Nimbark Acharya. So there's so much to say, and we've got like 20 minutes. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj does a beautiful glorification of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which he says, Krishna Tulya Bhagavatam Vibhu Sarvasyasya Prati Shloke Prati Akshare Nana Arstakaya. And the translation of this verse is that Srimad Bhagavatam is as great as Krishna, the Supreme Lord and shelter of everything. In each and every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, and in each and every syllable, there are various meanings. So in this one verse, there are so many meanings that have been given by our acharyas. And Srila Prabhupada has given some of those meanings in this purport, which we shall try to discuss. In his Tattva Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami has written one very nice verse about Srimad Bhagavatam, where he says, Veda Puranam Kavyam Cha Prabhur Mitram Priya Eva Cha Bodha Yantiti Hi Prahus Tri Ved Bhagavatam Punaha. And the translation of this verse, it is said that the Vedas instruct like a master. The Puranas instruct like a friend. And the poetic works instructs like a lover. But Srimad Bhagavatam does all three. He said you can teach in three ways. Like a ruler, where you're very emphatic and you enforce. And that's the Vedas. That's the statement you follow. Then you can teach like a friend, where you tell stories and you explain through analogies. That's the Puranas. And then you can teach like a lover in poetic language, kavya. And Srimad Bhagavatam does all three. And we can see in this verse, which we will discuss, how beautifully Srila Shukadev Goswami does that. It is explained that when Shukadev Goswami was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, in the audience was Vyasadev and Narada Muni. Vyasadev is like the guru of Shukadev because he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from his father Vyasadev. And Sri Narada Muni is his param guru. And traditionally, it is not accepted for the disciple to sit and speak. But in this case, Vyasadev and Narada said, Shukadev, you do it. And it is explained that when Shukadev Goswami was speaking, Narada Muni and Vyasadev, they were simply relishing the Bhagavatam like they've never heard it before. Because he was speaking it so beautifully, so sweetly. So this Bhagavatam spoken by Shukadev Goswami is extremely beautiful. And we can see in this previous chapter and in this chapter how he's bringing out a very special mood. The whole purpose of the Bhagavatam is to take us eventually to Krishna. And in the previous verse, Shukadev Goswami is churning this beautiful mood between the Lord and his devotees. Krishna is about to leave Astinapur. And there is so much of feelings of separation. And in this chapter, Krishna has left Astinapur and now he's coming to Dwaraka. And there is so much of anticipation. Actually, if you notice the way Shukadev Goswami speaks Srimad Bhagavatam, whenever there is a particular mood of separation, he pauses and he spends a lengthy time describing that. This mood of separation. And he did that in the last chapter, and then he does this also. Because up to this verse, it's separation and a feeling of anticipation. And in this verse, there are many beautiful words. And in particular, there's this one word, pranaya gata, which means saturated with love. This is a beautiful word. What does it mean to be saturated? Like now, we've had the rains. And if you walk outside, you'll see all of the grounds are saturated. It's absorbed all the water, and now the water is ponding, and it's mud. You can't take any more. A rasagulla, when you dip it in sugar water, it is said to become saturated when all of the sugar juice has gone into the rasa. Rasagulla. So in the same way, the devotees in Dwaraka, waiting for Lord Krishna, they are described as pranayagata, saturated with love. Now I did a little research to find out where else this word pranayagata features. It doesn't feature anywhere else in the Bhagavatam and in the Vedas. In the Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami uses unique words where you will not find anywhere else. So in this word pranayagata, he's beautifully captured saturation with love. And nowhere else, in no other book, with no other relationship with any demigods, will you find this mood of saturated with love. Only between the devotees and Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada would often use a word, a phrase, fully Krishna conscious, to describe someone who is saturated with love. So what does it mean to be fully Krishna conscious? What does it actually mean? Our acharyas and Srila Prabhupada have explained fully Krishna conscious in terms of Krishna Smaranam, remembrance of Krishna. And there are various stages of remembrance. In the Nectar of Instruction, in the 8th verse, Srila Prabhupada, quoting his own spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, explains this process of Krishna Smaranam very nicely. And I'll read it quite quickly. Prabhupada writes, in the neophyte stage, one should always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. This is called Shravana Dasa, the stage of hearing. By constantly hearing the transcendental holy name of Krishna and hearing of his transcendental form, qualities and pastimes, one can attain the stage of acceptance called Varanadasa. So it's hearing, then Varanadasa. When one attains that stage, he becomes attached to the hearing of Krishna Katha. When one is able to chant in ecstasy, he attains the stage of Smaranavasta, the stage of remembering. Recollection, absorption, meditation, constant remembrance, and trance are the five items of progressive Krishna Smaranam. At first, remembrance of Krishna may be interrupted at intervals, but later, remembrance proceeds uninterrupted. When remembrance is uninterrupted, it becomes concentrated and called meditation. And when meditation expands and becomes constant, it is called anusmriti. By uninterrupted and unceasing anusmriti, one enters the stage of samadhi or spiritual trance. So you see, these are stages of remembrance, Krishna Smaranam. So these devotees of Krishna in Dwaraka, they were in the highest stage, anusmriti. And in that stage, one can never forget Krishna. In the beginning stages, our mind goes somewhere else, but then one has to draw it to Krishna. But at the stage of ruchi, things turn around. One is more able to remember Krishna. But then in the higher stages of bhava and prema, one cannot ever forget Krishna. I remember Kartik Chandra Prabhu and I were discussing one day, one disciple of Prabhupada went to Gaur Govinda Swami and was saying, Gaur Govinda Swami, actually, you know, people are saying that I should become a guru. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe I should, maybe I should not. So Maharaj, what do you think? Should I become a guru? And then Gaur Govinda Maharaj said, if when you chant, your mind goes nowhere else but the holy name of Krishna and his pastimes, then you can become a guru. You are completely attached to Krishna. And he said, if someone offers a devotee £1 million to forget Krishna for one moment, a pure devotee, he won't be able to do it. It's impossible. Because his mind is automatically drawn to Krishna. And Prahlad Maharaj says a very similar thing in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, just like iron filings are drawn to a magnet, in the same way, my mind is constantly drawn towards you, Krishna. And this is the essence of spiritual life, Krishna consciousness. Smartavya satatam Vishnu, Vishmartavya na jatuchit, sarvavedi nishadstu, etayo eva kinkara. This is a verse by Rupa Goswami in which he explains that Krishna is the origin of Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be servants of these two principles. So these residents of Dwaraka, they had captured the essence of Krishna consciousness, Krishna Smaranam. So you see this word pranaya gata is being used, saturated with affection. And these verses, you can see how this saturation develops. News had reached Dwaraka that Lord Krishna had now left Astinapur. Actually, they heard he was about to leave previously. Krishna was about to leave Astinapur. But Maharaj Yudhisthira said, please stay a little more while. And then Krishna stayed for another 3 months. So these residents in Dwaraka, when they thought he was going to come, another 3 months they had to wait. So what you see in these verses of the Bhagavatam, there's a building up of intensification, a heightening anticipation of Lord Krishna arriving. The meeting is called Sambhog. And the feelings, when there's no meeting, is called Vipralamba. Separation. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada explains 4 types of sambhog. Sambhog. Prabhupada explains that the first type of sambhog is called sankshipta, which is attachment prior to meeting. The second one is after anger called man. This is anger based on love. And that's called sankirna. And then there's a third type of meeting called sambhog after being a little distance away for some time. And that's called sampana, like the residents of Vrindavan. Krishna would go out to the fields in the morning, and by the time he came back, there was so much of anticipation. They were standing on the roofs. Everyone was looking out in the distance to see, is Krishna coming? That was a short distance. That's called sampana. And then the last type of sambhog is called Samridhimam, after being away, far away for some time. So Krishna had been away in Astinapur for a long time. And now he's coming back to Dwaraka. So Shukadev Goswami, he places on this feelings of anticipation so beautifully in this chapter. And then there's the meeting. And Prabhupada says, such a program of reception is full of sincerity on path of both the receiver and received. Now I found these words, receiver and receive, quite interesting what Prabhupada uses. Normally you say giver and receiver. Like in England, HMRC are called the receiver of revenue. They receive the revenue. So someone receives and someone gives. But Prabhupada is using the words here, receiver and received. So I was thinking, this is a bit confusing, isn't it? Who's the receiver and who's the received? And I thought about it. And the reason, my understanding is, because in the dealings between the Lord and his devotees, it's not like one gives and one takes. The mood is both of giving. Giving. Krishna wants to give his love and reciprocation to his devotees. And his devotees want to give their love to Krishna. And this is full of sincerity. And Prabhupada says, in the world today, you see there's big reception. Sometime Donald Trump would come to England and there would be, you know, cavalry. There may be the shooting of cannons and the playing of bugles. But inside their hearts, there's not sincerity. And this material world is full of receptions. There may be all of the pomp and ceremony. But that feeling of reciprocation, mutual sincerity, is lacking. Only between Krishna and his devotees do you see real reception and real receiving, reciprocation of love. And that is displayed here in these verses. There's so much to say. We're just touching a little bit on it. But I was also asked to speak a little bit about Nimbak Acharya. So I'll say a little because not so much is known about Nimbak Acharya. We know that there are four sampradayas. The Brahma sampradaya coming from Lord Brahma, the Rudra sampradaya coming from Lord Shiva, the Sri sampradaya coming from Lakshmi Devi, and the Kumara sampradaya coming from the four Kumaras. These are the four bona fide Vaishnav sampradayas. And in the scriptures, Prabhupada says, it's mentioned, sampradaya viniha ye mantraste vifala mataha. And this verse is saying that unless one receives a mantra coming in any of these four sampradayas, that mantra is useless. Or if one receives any spiritual knowledge, if they don't come from any of these four sampradayas, they are useless. So Lord Chaitanya, in his teachings, he incorporated, assimilated some of the main points of each of the sampradayas and put it in our tradition. And in his book, Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken elements from each of the sampradayas. And he says from the Ramanuja Sampradaya, Lord Chaitanya has taken two concepts, the concept of unalloyed devotion, free from karma and jnana, and service to the devotees. From the Madhva Sampradaya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken the defeating of the philosophy of Mayavad and the worshipping of the deity of Krishna as being non-different from the deity. And from the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, he's taken the sentiment of total dependence of Krishna and the path of spontaneous devotion. And from the Kumara Sampradaya, this I found very interesting. Very, very interesting. Mahaprabhu has taken two aspects. The first aspect is the necessity of taking exclusive shelter of Sri Mati Radharani. And the second one is the exalted mood of the gopis' love for Sri Krishna. So this is coming in the Nimbarka Sampradaya. We get this mood of worshipping Radharani, of seeing the gopis as the most exalted devotees from Acharya Nimbarka. And that's Sampradaya, which is very interesting. And very quickly, some aspects of Nimbarka Acharya. He was born to a great family. His father was known as a great rishi, and his mother was a pious Brahmin lady. And he was born on this day, which is the last day of Kartik. Most auspicious time, as we can see. We mentioned so many auspicious things taking place. And from a young age, his father sent him to the ashram of the sages, and he learned the entire Vedas and all of the scriptures. And when he was about 14 years old, he went straight to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, he stayed near Govardhan. And actually, there's a place near Govardhan which is called Nimbarka Dham. This is a special place for Nimbarka, Sri Nimbarka Acharya. And I'll just tell one very quick story before I conclude, how we got the name Nimbarka Acharya. It is explained that at this place near Govardhan, he was residing. And it was the tradition that scholars would come and debate with each other. So once a scholar from the Jain tradition came to Vrindavan and was challenging the different devotees there. The Jain tradition is known as Naishtik, meaning they are atheistic. And Astik means the followers of the personal. So this debate was going on for days between Nimbarkacharya and this Jain sannyasi. And eventually, after much to and fro, this Jain sannyasi was defeated. And it is a tradition when you're defeated, you become the disciple of the person who's defeated you. So he became the disciple of Nimbarkacharya. So Nimbarkacharya wanted to offer the sannyasi some prasad. But it's the Jain tradition that they never take prasadam after the sun has set. So Nimbarkacharya really wanted to offer this prasad. So what he did is he climbed on this nim tree and he held up the sun. He held up the sun, and the sannyasi saw it wasn't dark, so he took prasad. There's also another version which says that Nimbarkacharya invoked Sudarshan Chakra. And Sudarshan was so bright that the sannyasi still thought that it was day. There are some statements by different sampradayas that believe that Nimbarkacharya is an incarnation of Sudarshan Chakra. So Nimbak means nim tree. Arka means sun. So Nimba Arka, one who held up the sun on the nim tree. That's how, and from that day, he got the name Nimbarka. He became known as Nimbarkacharya. And Nimbarkacharya, he wrote many, many wonderful shastras. He wrote a commentary on the Brahma or the Vedanta sutras called Vedanta Parijat Sorab. He wrote a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita called Sadachar Prakash. And he wrote one verse called Das Shloki. He wrote 10 verses. And I'll just read one verse where he glorifies Srimati Radharani. I won't read the Sanskrit. But the verse goes, to the left side of Goloka Bihari is the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, Sri Radha, who is as beautiful as the Lord and is worshipped by thousands of maidservants. She fulfills the wishes of all. Sri Kishori is eternally remembered as Sriji. So you can see there's such a beautiful glorification of Srimati Radharani by Nimbarkacharya. So I've gone well over my time. I think I should stop here. So much things to be said. Maybe the devotees can discuss later on. Are there any questions or comments? Or corrections? Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki, Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bol.